Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God. My name is Pastor Marquise, and we are a non-denominational church led by the living and active Word of God in the heart of Seattle, Washington, by Pastors Harold and Annis Faye Franklin. Whether this is your first time, second time, be sure to subscribe and share this with those that need it. Now join me and be ready to live and learn from the Word of God.
Man, there's a lot going on already. I'm excited to be here. I got a testimony too. I just wanted to wait until I started preaching. But my testimony is I was sharing with my dad yesterday. I was at a concert just over at Rainier Beach High School. A Christian rapper came in from from Houston. His name is Bizzle. And they had an altar call. And one of our brothers, Swiss, he did a powerful altar call. And they asked some of the pastors to come up and just pray for some of the people that were there. So God led me to this young man. And as I was praying for him, I asked him, what do you want prayer for? And this goes great with my message and everything. So you know how God does his confirmation thing. It's just like, man, confirmation here, confirmation here. I mean, that's a good thing when it's confirmed. Amen. So he's just saying, man, I just want the strength and the power to do what I need to do, man. I know I'm supposed to do the right thing and da 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 da. And as he was saying it, I saw that he really wanted it. You know, like when some people ask for prayer, some people are like, oh, just pray for me and my family. And, you know, but when people say like, man, I know that God is going to do it. It's like when Jesus met that man that said, just say the word and my daughter will be healed. Like when you see that, I said, I don't even need to pray for you. You know, and I did. I still pray for him. But I said, that same fervency that you have to do the right thing, you take that not just here, but for the rest of your life. So I ended up praying for him, and we ended up talking. And I gave him one of my flyers for my radio show, and it says Yacht of the King. He's like, oh, I know that Yacht of the King. There's a song that goes Yacht of the King, Shabak the King. And Swiss was like, yeah, that's Marquise. That was me. And I was like, oh, okay. And he's like, man, your CD really impacted my life, you know, and my mom was just praying over our businesses. That's part of what we do. We want to see the impact. I had talked to Chamin and Marcel the other day. Those are the other brothers that do the music with me. And I was just like, man, I just want to see impact. You know, like, I don't want to just keep doing this. And, you know, it just looks like we're running full circle, you know, but nothing is happening. I want to see impact. And, you know, as he said all that, that was reassuring to me. It was confirmation about, you know, even me hearing from God just to go pray for him. And just now we're going to be building each week and just talking to each other and building each other up. But I mean, one of the main things that he said, it was just he wanted the deliverance of God in his life. Amen. And that's the message that I'm preaching on. I know Monica's downstairs, but a couple weeks ago, she was saying that her friend at work was like, the church she goes to, they don't ever speak about deliverance, you know. And she was like, that's what our church is speaking about. So I know that God is using what we are doing. And I just want to say this as I preach this message, and Lord willing, I can finish it today. But as I preach this, this is not just for us. You guys understand what I'm saying? Once you understand the power of God's deliverance, once you understand it, it's your job to share it with somebody else. Amen. Because realistically, this is just that gas station where we get all the gas we need. But if you just drive around in here and don't go nowhere with your gas, you're wasting your money. Not only are you wasting your money, you're wasting the call that God has on your life. Amen. Because I know this is a great call here, but when we go outside into the real world, that's where the call happens. Amen. Brother Willie, Pastor Willie, Bishop Willie, whatever we call him today. It's so funny, man, because I had a dream about him. I mean, and that's a good thing. It was a good thing in the dream. But, you know, he was his own silly self in the dream doing funny things. You had a nice Cadillac in there, by the way, so, hey, that might be coming. But, yeah. But anyway, I just keep having dreams lately, man, about me preaching a lot of places. And I woke up this morning and I was telling my wife about it, and I was singing worship song, and you know, I just stopped singing the words, but I just began to worship, and I just seen how God was able to move, you know, through worship, through singing, through our gifts, but also through the word of God. So I'm just excited that God is constantly showing up. Amen. Let's dive into this word today. We talked last week about, or man, it's been a couple weeks since I talked, but the last time I talked, it was on David's deliverance from doing vain things, pointless things. Sometimes we can get so caught up in doing pointless things. Now, I'm going to say this real quick. It's a side note. Yeah, I told my wife was like, Marquise can't go shopping today because he has his fantasy draft, right? And they looked at me like that was a vain thing. Now, look, that's a fun thing, okay? Now, if I was like, I'm not coming to church because I'm doing the fantasy draft, that would be an issue. But what I'm trying to say is sometimes we can get caught up in so many different things. And you can get caught up in even little things like that. But make sure you are not, as David said, be delivered from doing vain things. There's nothing worse than to live a vain life. Your whole life was vain. What'd you do? Oh, I don't know. You know, like if you can't testify about what you've done your whole life, it's an issue as a believer. Because the people that are unbelievers, they don't have, they're living a vain life. That's vanity at its finest. But we are called, and the Bible says that we're going to be held accountable to our works. Amen. And not only are we going to be held accountable, they're going to be tested and burned, which is not something we always like to hear. But that's what's going to happen. So let me get back into this, man. There's a lot of things I want to talk about today. Let's start at James chapter 4, verse 14 through 20. And I just thank God for this message because I see that this is just like that kid was just longing for deliverance. I know that this is something that the body of Christ needs to adhere to so that we could be fully functioning as God wants us to function. Amen. James chapter 4, verse 14 through 20, and it says this. Is that right? Did I say James chapter 4? 14 through 20. That's the wrong chapter. I'm sorry about that. Let me go back. I think it's chapter 3. Okay, so I'm sorry. That's the wrong passage right there. I don't know how that got in there. We'll go to the next scripture. 1 Corinthians 7. 31 through 35. And that happens sometimes when you write something down so fast because God giving you so many scriptures. It's like, man, I got to get all of them. But let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 31 through 35. All right, it says this. And those who use this world as not misusing it, for the form of this world is passing away. Let me just start at verse 29. But this I say, brethren, the time is short, so that now on even those who have wives should be as though they had none. Those who weep as though they did not weep. Those who rejoice as though they did not rejoice. Those who buy as though they did not possess. And those who use this world as not misusing it. For this form and this world is passing away. But I want you to be without care. He was unmarried cares for the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. And but he who marries cares about the things of the world, how he may please his wife. I'm going to stop right there. But I think that in this scripture, the thing that I was trying to bring out is that we need to be delivered from the cares of the world, even as husbands and wives. I think sometimes, my dad was talking about it, sometimes we stay up worrying. We need deliverance in our mind from worrying, because what you really are saying is, when you worry about what goes on in your life, God, I don't really think you have this under control. Is that what happens? When I'm like, God, I'm trying to figure this thing out. myself, because it doesn't seem like you are getting it done on my time, because this is my world and I need you to get it fixed. Like, you know, some of us get talking to God like that. We might not say it super loud, but it's in your head, right? And we pray in our head sometimes, right? But it's like, I'm so caught up in this worry that I miss what God has for me. I miss the lesson. You know, they say there's a lesson in a blessing, but there's a lesson in waiting for your blessing. Amen. There's a lesson that God has for you. And part of deliverance is understanding that, hey, I have to wait for God. I'm going to have to wait for God, and he's going to have to deliver my mind so I can be at peace with what he is doing. I know that's a hard thing for especially us as the heads of the household. I know Michael's talking about just launching in his business, me launching in my business and going through different financial problems in the beginning of it. Thank God it's done. Hallelujah. And I'm not going back. But when you go through those things, it shakes your faith. It can shake your faith or it can shape your faith, though. When you look at God's deliverance, he's delivered us from the cares of this world. It says in Matthew 6:33, seek first his kingdom and all of his righteousness and all these other things, which we kind of put in front of seeking his kingdom. Right. And I'm going to say this. God knows about the lives that we have. The Bible says he is concerned with what concerns us. He's concerned, like, my daughter's going to school. She started school on Tuesday. I got to go shopping to get her clothes because she has to wear a uniform. She just can't wear anything. So, I mean, when going shopping, you were like, oh, okay, I'm talking to Precious. Oh, man, I got to make sure I got just enough so she can have all the clothes that she needs. That's a father's worry. But instead of worrying and then just hustling and bustling and trying to figure out how I could do it, I'm just going to be like, okay, God, she needs this, Lord. I need you to do what your word says, because your word says you will provide all my needs according to your riches and your glory, not according to my bank account, right? And I think it's interesting, because sometimes when we have large bank accounts, we forget about what God is doing. You know, and once you're on the easy street, it's like, okay, I don't really need to pray for that, you know, and I think God has to deliver us from that sometimes. I know I went through what I went through in starting my business because there was a time where I could buy anything. I didn't have to worry about anything. I remember getting out of high school. I got a job. I was making $2,500 a month, fresh out of high school. I was able to buy my car, my house, anything I wanted. But I talk about it in one of my songs. God had to take that from me. So I saw that it wasn't, my faith was not in my money, but it was in God. Amen. And then with that, he had to deliver me from it. And sometimes when God is delivering us from something, he has to put us through something. Right? I don't know about you, but I've been through some things where God taught me a lot in the midst of it. And sometimes I was mad at God. And I don't know if anybody else gets mad at God, but I was mad. Like, I was getting up, I was driving to work, and I was supposed to pray, and I was like, I'm not praying. I put my music on. I was like, I'm not going to pray. You know, halfway to the job, I better pray. You know, like God, he said, he was chastising me and letting me know. And then while I was praying, he spoke to me. And the most powerful thing about God is when he speaks to you. When he speaks to you, he said, listen, you're not going to get out of where you are until you understand why you're here. When you understand why you're here, you can move to the next point. When I realized that, I mean, God has tests for you. Amen. And I don't know why that scripture was in there either, but I know I could always do some exposition off of it. Amen. But let's go to Psalms chapter 34. We know that God delivers his people. Amen. And I talk about Psalms a lot because in there, you're constantly seeing the deliverance of God. This is a quick chapter. I just want to read it so we can see not only our deliverance, but also see how we should react to our deliverance. Amen. It starts off like this. It says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Now, David wrote this because David had been delivered. So if I want to walk in deliverance, I must bless the Lord at all times, even when I don't understand why I'm going through what I'm going. All times not doesn't mean good times. It doesn't mean in marriages sometimes they will bless the Lord in good times. But then in the bad times, they're like, God, why did you give me this lady? Right? That's what happens. But it says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Then he continues in praise. Do you guys see this right here? It says, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Because this is why he says, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Somebody needs to be delivered from their fears today, because the fear holds you back. I remember when I first stepped out into my music ministry, the full-time ministry, the first word that God gave me, and I knew that it was getting ready. I was getting ready to go from my last job, and I was like, thank you, Lord. But he said, conquer your fears. He told me that. I was like, woo, that is it. I started texting all my friends. I text everybody in my phone, conquer your fears. And people were like, was that just for me? You know, like that's like, but even the word that God gave to me was able to impact so many other people. One guy got it tatted on his arm. I didn't tell him to do that. But hey, at least it was something that, you know, it's going to remind him of something that I said that God has spoke to me. But you look at Abraham, you look at all of these people where God has something for them to do. He always had to say, conquer your fears, or that had to happen for them to obey what God had to say. Amen. So some of us need to be delivered from our fears. Amen. It says they looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out and the Lord heard him. Somebody needs to know that in your deliverance, God is hearing you. Amen. And it says, and saved him out of all his troubles. God saved us from all of our troubles. And sometimes it's the troubles that we get ourselves in. Anybody ever go shopping when you needed to pay a bill? You know, like, or you just did something. You might have, like yesterday, there was a guy that got in a small accident. Thank God it was small. But, you know, he might have just dropped something. Or, you know, so, and he barely bumped the guy, and the guy went off, too. I was like, dang, he barely hit you. But he had a new baby in the car, so I think they just came from the hospital, and thank God everything was okay. But that probably could have been prevented if the guy was paying attention. That was a trouble that he put himself into, because it wasn't an abrupt stop at all. So sometimes we get ourselves in predicaments. As the cartoons always say, they always use that big word. Who was that? That was Bugs Bunny or somebody? Daffy Duck? They always use predicament. Anyway, we get ourselves in these situations where we need God to help us. I don't know why humans do that, but we say, oh, that looks real dangerous. And we step into it. God, get me out. You know, and God is like, stupid humans. What they just do, I mean, like, I got enough to save them from in the spiritual realm, and they just messing up on their own. But thank God that he delivers us from our stupidity. Amen. What verse were we at? Verse 7. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. Now, this fear, I always have to break this fear down, because the fear that we were talking about that God would deliver you from is different than fearing God. Fearing God means respecting him so highly that you'll do whatever he says. That's a fear for God. That's a healthy fear of God. You can have that fear. Don't have the fear that's like, I don't know if I'm going to believe what his word says, because my circumstances don't. Anytime there's something that God says and you kind of shy away from it, that's a fear. And you have to address it and know it and say, God, remove this fear from me. Amen. My wife this week, I was like, we're getting ready to do the young adult conference. And she was like, do I have to preach? I was like, what do you think? Yeah, you're going to have to preach. That's a fear that she got to get over, you know. And as a husband, I do it gently. She knows she's going to have to preach. And I'm giving her enough prep time. Amen. But it says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you saints, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. I don't know if anybody's getting this today, but this is the power of God's deliverance, because David has seen what God has done in his life. You know, I know we were talking about like the issues of sin earlier in this deliverance message, but now we get to see that God, not only does he deliver us from sin, but he's going to prepare the way for his those that fear him. Amen. And I just want to encourage you to know that if you're going through something, you need to start winning by your praise. Anybody know there's a story in the Bible? And in this story, the Israelites were losing the battle, but they started sending some praisers. And the enemy heard the praise. And they were like, oh, man, they must have won. And they retreated. Right? So what happens is our praise confuses the enemy today. Amen. I woke up this morning with my mind on Jesus. It was a good morning this morning. He woke me up with good dreams of me preaching and singing and worshiping. I got up and I was like, God, I need to go pray. I got up, started praying. I didn't have a problem with my kids this morning. I was like, Lord, dang, this is easy street. Thank you, Lord. But what happened is I had my mind on God. I had my mind on praise. And me as a father, if I have my mind on praise, it'll keep me from yelling at my kids, even when they're doing the wrong thing. It shapes the whole day for my family. So even us men, let's make sure we are putting ourselves in a mindset of praise. Amen. Verse 11. Let's go ahead. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you to fear the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cries out. This is going to be the last verse I read from here. The righteous cries out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. Amen. Now, I'm going to read another Psalms. Well, actually, I'm going to give you this other Psalms to read. You can finish that chapter, but I want to encourage you. I might as well go with it. No, I'm going to encourage you to read it. Psalms chapter 20. Go ahead, everybody, get that in your mind. Write it down. Read Psalms 20 and see the power of his salvation. And salvation is another word for what? Deliverance. The deliverance of God, his salvation, is powerful, and we need to see the power of his salvation. Amen. And like I said, David had so many things that God delivered him from. We know that he delivered him from the lion and the bear, Goliath. No person, I think about this, and there actually is a tribe of people who actually do kill tigers, but they're not doing it by themselves. You know, they have a couple of other guys with them. But if just imagine today, and let me clarify something. When the Bible says David killed a lion, it wasn't a lion cub. It wasn't a soft lion, because lion cubs don't hunt. Okay? Because some of us want to make it, oh, he was a little boy and he killed this lion, this cub. You know, it was so cute. No, it wasn't cute. It was a battle. But God gave him deliverance in that. Because, I mean, something powerful even about that that God is just putting in my spirit is David was guarding the flock. When a man or a woman is guarding the flock, God is going to help them. Amen. Even as pastors, when you are guarding the flock from what the enemy is trying to do, the enemy is trying to tear them away, God is going to help you and bring their deliverance. Amen. And that's what we got to remember. Sometimes we think it's in our own strength and we, God, come on, do something. But know that God is fighting our battles. Amen. Romans chapter 5, verse 21 through 21. Amen. And it says this. Now we're going to get real, really heavy into the deliverance and the life after you've been delivered. It says, therefore, just as through one man, sin entered into the world and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. Say, I have sinned. But in verse 13, it says, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses. Death reigned from Adam to Moses. Does anybody know what that means? Death was winning from Adam to Moses. And it's interesting because, you know, what happened after Moses? Moses, there was the law. Okay? So when the law came that taught them how to do sacrifices correctly, they were in a right place for a certain amount of time until the next sacrifice had to be done. You guys getting what I'm saying? And then after a while, what happened? They couldn't do sacrifices. They were slaves. They were like, you gonna do what to that cow? Yeah, right. You know, that's our property. You crazy. You need 300 cows a day? Yeah, I mean, like I remember reading through that whole portion of how they did the sacrifices. If you're not in control of a country, you can't do that. So after a while, they couldn't do sacrifices. So according to the law, they had no justification. So what happened? God sent Jesus. Amen. Thank God I don't have to kill no animals. Amen. I don't know. Some of y'all might want to kill some animals, but I'm good. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned. Now, that's crazy right there. Because, and why does it say that? Even those that have not sinned, because they were all born into sin. Even if you didn't do anything, and these are some of the good people. I even look at Enoch, the guy that walked with God. Death reigned over him. You know, like, we don't see nothing that Enoch did wrong. Seth, a man of God as well, we didn't see what they did wrong, but because they were born into sin, they needed some type of deliverance to free them from that bondage. Amen? So God sent the law. And then it says, even of those who had sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. Verse 15 says, but the free gift is not like the offense. For if by one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to many. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For the judgment which came from one's offense resulted in condemnation, but the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. You guys getting what it's saying? It says, for if By the one man's offense, death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of the grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. So we see this whole situation, death reigned because of one sin. And it constantly said in that passage, the free gift that God has given. Now, the death was not a gift. It wasn't a gift. Do you guys understand what I'm saying? Death was a curse, and it was given to everybody. But when it talks about this free gift, you only get it if you accept it. You guys seeing that right there? It kept saying free gift, but it was giving you an example that God's deliverance is a free gift, that if you accept his son, Jesus Christ, and the work that he did on the cross, dying for your sins, he nailed your sins to the cross. And not only did he die for them, he rose because he was sinless. Amen. And now through him, we reign in life. We no longer are under death. This is the power of deliverance that we got to remember. God, so what am I saying? That means that I do not have to live in sin any longer. I don't have to live in the mindset of sinning any longer. That doesn't mean that you might not mess up, but there's a difference between a mess up and a mindset of I'm going to live in sin. Like in football, I was watching the game yesterday at I don't know if my dad watched this game, so I ain't going to say it. But there was a guy that dropped the ball. Perfect pass. And I dropped some passes in my time. But anyway, he dropped the ball. And what happens is he's pounding the ground because he dropped the ball. What am I saying? That was something that he was not living forward to or looking forward to. He wasn't living to just drop the ball. Because if he was living to drop the ball, he would have dropped the ball and started dancing. You know how they do, they got some nice dance moves in the football. Anyway, he was upset, and that's the same way we should be when we mess up. We don't start celebrating like, oh, man, well, I messed up there, man. Well, let's dance and let's have a good time. If I messed up, I heard once it was a comedy, but she was like, I already messed up today, so I might as well keep on messing up because God only looks at one day at a time. You know, it's like, come on, man. It was funny, but that's how some people really think. Like, I messed up, I might as well mess up some more today. I already messed up. But God has given us deliverance from that mindset. It says, therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. You guys see that? Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness. Now, see, I don't know if some people read this kind of stuff together, because it doesn't just say grace reigns, but it says grace might reign through righteousness. There's a condition to God's grace that's going to work for your life. We all have God's grace. Saved or unsaved, there's a grace that God has given us. But if we want the grace that's not going to be reigning in death, we must have God's grace through his righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. At the concert that I was at on, what day was that? Friday. Bizzle said something that was powerful, and I was really excited that he said that. He was talking about how we start sinning, and at first we're like, God, forgive me. God, forgive me. You know, I didn't mean to do that. Then after a while, it's like you're thinking about sinning, and you're like, well, God will forgive me, so I'm cool. I know he'll forgive me, right? And then it starts a pattern. But he said instead of reacting to God's love with, oh, I know he'll forgive me, we should react to God's love with love. That makes a difference. And when he said that, I was like, wow, that's powerful. Because when we react to God with love, it's going to change the way we live our life. We no longer react by ourselves. We're saying, God, I want to do this because I love you so much. I want to please you, God, because I know that I love you so much. Amen. Let's keep on going. 1 Thessalonians 1, 9 through 10. I have quite a few scriptures. And this is good to share with some of the people that are dealing with different things that they need to be delivered from. We have to have these scriptures, and some of us should highlight it so we can tell them God has delivered you. Because what the enemy is telling them is you're not delivered. You're still struggling with it. The enemy works through condemnation. He's trying to keep them down. But God has set us free so we won't be bound. Amen. For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of answer we had to you and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his son from heaven whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. Now, I look at this scripture and it talks about they were delivered from serving idols. All of us had idols that we had to be delivered from. There's certain things in our life that we have put in such a place in our life that, you know, we might not think is higher than God, but as you really react to it, it's funny because if somebody takes your money, you're going to act a certain way. You did what? If somebody disrespects our God, sometimes we might not even say anything. You know, and it's, I know we have to live in peace with people. Don't get me wrong. We don't go fight them over that. We shouldn't fight over our money, though. But what I'm trying to show you is our reactions show what leads our life. When that guy got out the car and threw that thing all the way, it was, I thought they were going to get in a fight. But his reaction showed how much he valued his car. And our reaction should show how much we value our God. Not only that, it says in the last verse, he is going to deliver us from the wrath to come. Now, nobody likes hearing that wrath is coming. Right? And I think wrath is one of those words that's a lot of people in my generation are not saying, oh, the wrath is coming. You know, but when it says wrath, something bad is coming. And they say something bad is going to happen, you know. But God has delivered us. Jesus, through his son dying on, Jesus himself dying on the cross, has delivered us from the wrath that is to come. That's, not only is that hell, that's all the other things that are to come. I look at some of the Christians facing different tribulations today. He's still delivering them from wrath, even though we don't see it in this life. Even if somebody dies for Jesus, we may not see how God delivered them, but they did. And we don't see it because we're looking through the fleshly eyes. If we look through the spiritual realm, they're delivered. They no longer have to deal with anything. No pain. And it's interesting because when I did see one believer who was killed, he had a peace on his face. And I was like, man, you know, that I was like, woo, I was on the edge, you know. But when I saw that he still had peace, he wasn't worried. And the Bible says he would keep those in perfect peace whose mind is on him. They kept their mind on him, even through all that stuff. And, you know, it makes the enemy mad. And obviously it makes the people that are living falsely, it makes them even mad. You can't stop what God is doing. You can't stop his deliverance. You thought you did, but you just helped them. They're in a better place than us. They thought America was good. Man, heaven is a lot better. Quote that. Let's go. I'm going to say this. Like I said, I shared that testimony of the kid earlier who was like, I just want to walk in God's deliverance. We have to chase after the word of God that has already said we are delivered. We have to chase that. What does that look like? When walking out deliverance, we cannot accept what things look like. We have to accept what God has already said. So if God said I'm delivered and I'm walking through this alley that it doesn't look like deliverance, I have to keep my mind on his word that says I'm delivered and I'm going to walk it out. That's the biggest thing for people that get saved and that they're dealing with different problems. They have to walk it out. And walking it out is not going to be some soft thing. It's going to be a fight. I call my album The Fight of Faith, and my dad is preaching on the life of faith. He's preached on the fight of faith as well, but it is a fight to live in deliverance. You're going to be by yourself sometimes. And I told him, I said, listen, man, don't get to a place where you really don't care what anybody else says. You don't value what they say higher than the word of God. Amen. And when you are at that place where God's word is really all that matters, no matter if they make fun, you have to get there as a believer today. If you don't get to that place where God's word is all that matters and you're worried about what everybody else is saying, you have become a pleaser of man instead of a pleaser of God. So instead of just worrying about what your friends are going to think when you said, hey, man, I'm making a decision to abstain from this or to abstain from that. I'm making a choice to really live my life for God. I can't deal with this here no more. Either you can get with it or you're going to have to kick rocks because this is not going to work for me anymore. You have to get to that place. And that's what I was telling them. I said, listen, I went through high school and was made fun of for the stance that I made for God, even in quote unquote Christian schools. So I mean, I know even in college, it's crazy, but I really don't care what these people think. My mind had to be trained like that by accepting that I am a child of God, and God sees me, and He knows who I am, and He's given me the vision. Amen. So let's go right here, 2 Timothy 2:20 through 26. And this is called walking as vessels of honor. And it says 2 Timothy 2:20. If you got it, go ahead and say amen. I'm going to catch up with y'all. It says, but in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Somebody say every good work. Every good work. So this is preparing us to let us know there's something that you can do to either be a vessel of honor or a vessel of dishonor. You guys get me? You guys see that? It says, flee also youthful lusts, but pursue. Somebody say pursue. Now, instead of always telling somebody what not to do, and, you know, some people don't like that in the first place, this is a great scripture to tell them what to do. I was having this talk with somebody, and we were talking about telling somebody that were together, that were married, and they weren't saved, to get saved. I said that might be a good thing, and we should do that. But sometimes tell them what does it look like to be saved. Explain to them. So if you pursue this even in your marriage, I'm pretty sure you'll have a great marriage. You pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. When you pursue these things, it's going to change you. Amen. And eventually, I believe that they will get saved because they're now walking in the word. So sometimes instead of just, you know, some people don't. And when you say get saved, it's so cliche today. They don't know what that means. They don't know what that means. Oh, I said this prayer. Am I saved now? What does it look? No, because that's just the beginning. You ask Jesus into your heart, ask him to forgive you of all your sins, and that's where a lot of people stop. So now they're at church for the rest of their life. I asked Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Okay, let me do this again. Jesus is Lord. Forgive me of my sins. That's all they know. Because they're not reading their Bible on their own. It's not fun to them. I mean, I'm not even a reader. I'm not a big reader. I hated reading books growing up. I'm getting better at it now. But I mean, I remember I had book reports. I waited till the last day or the last weekend, and I would be reading the book all weekend, and I was miserable. It was a nice weekend, sunny, all my friends are out playing, but I had to read this cowboy book, or The Indian in the Cupboard, or something like that. You guys remember those books? But it was like, man, so that kind of messed me up. So reading the Bible was like, oh, man. But like I always say, find a way that intrigues your mind when it comes to the Word of God. If you want to definitely read the Bible or listen to the Bible, do something with the Bible. All right? But don't, okay, anyway, but just make sure you're reading the Bible. Then it says, not only that, but avoid foolish and ignorant disputes. See, if I told somebody who's married, avoid foolish disputes, my wife said it like this. She says, pick your battles, right? Little stuff, just let it slide. Like the people that got in the accident, I was like, man, you guys' insurance is going to go up, and there's no marks on your car, no nothing. I'm like, man, I would have got out and been like, all right, man. And I've had this happen before. I got hit in a parking lot, and we were not going that fast. He hit my car, but I got out. Nothing was wrong. All right, bro, man, make sure you do the right thing next time. Pay attention. Come on. And then I'm like, I'm not even going to deal with it. I'm out of here. Why? Because when you're getting a car accident, whether it was your fault or not, the insurance goes up. So you're going to pay for their mistake. So I was like, man, I'm not. Anyway, that was small. But it says, but avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And then it says, and a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach and patient. Man, that's something I know I got to work on. Patience. I've been learning that a lot. My parents been on me about that, too. Good God. Anyway, it says, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare. See, this is something that God has to deliver them from because it's a snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will, the devil's will right there. Now, I'm going to stop there because I know it's getting late, but we must understand God's word is powerful enough to help us and show us the way that we need to walk this thing out. Once you are delivered, it doesn't stop at God, forgive me of my sins. Like I said, now do the word. I always tell, like in my Bible study, I tell them, if you are reading the Bible, but it doesn't look like you, you're doing something wrong. If it only looks like you when it says worker of iniquity, you need to get it fixed. Amen. You need to get it fixed. And the word of God is powerful enough, and it says it's sharp enough to divide joints from the marrow. Amen. And it's able to teach us the way that we should live our life. Amen. And when we are walking in deliverance, we have to live by every word. The Bible says every precept. You know what I'm saying? All the whole Bible is useful for correcting and rebuking and training us in righteousness, as it said in that chapter right before I got started. Amen. So let us go ahead and pray. I guess I have a little bit more on this that I'll finish next time. But we're going to go ahead and get out of here. Amen. Heavenly Father, I just thank you to God for your word, oh God. First of all, we bless your name, God, for you delivering us, oh God. And dear God, not only do we want you to deliver us, but we want you to deliver others that are around us and help us to be ambassadors of your light, dear God. Dear God, help us to instruct others on how to live a life of deliverance. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. We pray to God that you bless us. Thank you for spending time with us here at New Creation Christian Center. Feel free to join our worship services on Saturday at 7 p.m. and Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington, 98118. Visit our website, newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.